So we spoke about Moshe transmitting the Torah to Yoshua, and now the Torah Sheval Peh was then given from Yoshua to the Zakenim. And the question is, who are these Zakenim? Who are these Zakenim? So, first thing to know is that Rashi points out that these Zakenim were those mentioned in Shoftim, Sefer Shoftim, in the second Perek of Sefer Shoftim, and particularly the Pasuk that mentions them is Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin. Sefer Shoftim, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin. These were the Shoftim that ruled over Klal Yisrael. They're not the same Zakenim, and they can't possibly be the same Zakenim that lived in the days of Moshe, because those Zakenim only learned Torah from Moshe and not Yoshua. In fact, the Torah tells us in Parshas Baaloscha, which you probably don't have in front of you, but the Torah tells us in Parshas Baaloscha, in Bamidbar Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Tezayin, that Esfali Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael. So those are the 70 Zakenim. And that's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Beis Amud Aleph at the bottom tells us, that those are the 70 Zakenim. Those are not the Zakenim of Yoshua to the Zakenim, like the Mishnah novels we just quoted, but those are the Zakenim that were on the Sanhedrin. Since the Sanhedrin only learned by Moshe, they only learned Torah from Moshe, but the Shoftim and the Shoftim, who were the real Zakenim, learned from Yoshua, so the Yoshua Misar LeZakenim, Yoshua LeZakenim, is referring to the Shoftim period. And I wanted to discuss today a little bit about the Shoftim. So here we go. The first Shofet is Osniel ben Kenaz. I should tell you that there are 15 Shoftim in total. Some people count it as 14, but there are 15 Shoftim in Klal Yisrael throughout the Sefer, the book of Shoftim. The first is Osniel ben Kenaz. Otniel, the city Otniel, is, as are many streets, as are many communities, named after biblical personalities and characters, so this is no exception. Osniel or Otniel ben Kenaz is Klal Yisrael's first Shofet. We'll do a little bit, a short bit on each one. So with Osniel ben Kenaz, we'll do a little bit longer, which is that there's a dispute as to whether Osniel ben Kenaz was the younger brother of Kalev. Kalev, of course, mentioned a number of times, in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, most notably in Parsha Shlach with the Meraglim, Kalev and Yoshua with the two exceptions to the Meraglim. So they were not considered one of the Meraglim. It's 10 and 2. So there's a dispute as to whether he was the younger brother of Kalev, Osniel was, or the nephew of Kalev, meaning that Kenaz was Kalev's brother. Rashi in Yoshua, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yitzayin tells us that Kalev and Osniel were half-brothers, sharing a mother. That's Rashi. The Radak in Sefer Yoshua, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Yitzayin, tells us that Kalev and Osniel were full brothers, the same father, the same mother. Kalev ben Yefune throws a little bit of a monkey wrench into this whole idea, because Yefune and Kenaz were assumed to be the same person. Meaning, Yefune and Kenaz were the same person, says the Radak, but the same person with two different names. The reason that no Mefarshim offer the simpler solution that Kenaz was Kalev's brother rather than Osniel is because the Pasuk in Parshas Matos, Bamidbar Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, again, Bamidbar Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, tells us that Kalev himself is referred to as a Knizi. So there's no coincidence that Kalev himself is referred to as a Knizi, someone from Kenaz. The Gemara in Sota, on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara in Sota on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, which you don't have, you're not going to have a bunch of the Makoros, because I left out the Makoros from the Shoftim. The Shoftim I just wanted to give little, very short biographical sketches, especially because there were 15 of them, so there's a bunch to do. But we cannot leave this out, because when people discuss the transmission of Torah Sheval Peh and they get to Yoshua LeZakenim, they leave out the Shoftim, because they assume the Zakenim to be from Parshas Baaloscha. They assume the Zakenim to be the same ones that are Sanhedrin Daf Beis, Esfali Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael. But it can't possibly be so. As we pointed out before, we have an ironclad proof. So the Gemara in Sota, on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, 11b, tells us, quotes the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Beis, pasuk Yud Ches. Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Beis, pasuk Yud Ches. It refers to not Kalev ben Yefune, but Kalev ben Chetzron. And the Gemara concludes that Kalev was also the son of Knaz. Kalev was also the son of Knaz. Not just Kalev ben Yefune, but Kalev ben Knaz. Really, the stepson of Knaz. Since he and Othniel, and Othniel, shared a mother, but had different fathers. Othniel was brought by Hashem to save the Jewish people, specifically from worshipping Avodah Zarah, and specifically within worshipping Avodah Zarah, specifically the worship of Baal and Asherah. The Avodah Zarah of Baal and Asherah. Hashem then gets angry, and Hashem delivers them to Kushan Rishasayim, the evil Kushan Rishasayim, Kushan with a chaf, with a kaf. Klal Yisrael cries out, and that's when Hashem brought them their first shofet. So Othniel ben Knaz only comes on the scene when, after they are done worshipping Avodah Zarah, and Hashem gets angry. Othniel ben Knaz goes to war for them, which is the shofet's primary role. We'll get to the two primary roles of the shofet in a second, but he went to war for them. He beats Kushan Rishasayim. Rishasayim, like spelled like a Russia, but then Tuf Yud Mem Sofit. So Kushan Rishasayim. Everything is quiet for 40 years. This is in the history part of Torah history. Everything is quiet for 40 years. And then Othniel ben Knaz passes away. The second shofet is Ehud ben Gera. Ehud ben Gera, Ehud with an Aleph, Ehud ben Gera fights Moav and kills Eglon Melech Moav, which was followed by peace for 80 years. So sometimes you have the war first, and sometimes you have peace, and then they're misbehaving, meaning worshipping Avodah Zarah, sinning, and then Hashem brings the shofet. The third shofet is Shamgar, Shamgar ben Anas, Shamgar ben Anat. Anas is spelled Ayin Nun Tuf. Shamgar ben Anas rules together with Ehud. It's one of the few pairings and partnerships of Shoftim. Rules together with Ehud during the final years of Ehud's leadership. These two, Ehud and Shamgar, are called a Moshiach, a savior of Klal Yisrael, and not a shofet. And you see this a couple of times within Sefer Shoftim when describing the Zakenim. Describing Zakenim for our purposes, or for all purposes really, equal shofet. So definitely in the history of Torah Shebaal Peh. So, and the question is why? Why are they described as a Moshiach, as a savior, and not as a shofet? So the Malbim, in Sefer Shoftim, Perek Gimel Pasuk Tesvav. Perek Gimel Pasuk Tesvav. The Malbim tells us that since they only led them against their enemies and did not lead them in paskening shilas, which was the primary role of the shofet, so therefore they're called the Moshiach. Now it's not really derogatory, it's just telling you of the other role of the shofet. And here I want to point out that there are two primary roles of the shofet. The first we mentioned is as a Rebbe, as a posek, as somebody who's paskening shilas, issuing halachic decisions. The second role of the shofet, the other role of the shofet, was to serve as the military leader. You want to call that the Moshiach, call it the Moshiach, but the second role is that of a military leader. And in fact, the Seder Olam, in Perek Yud Beis of Seder Olam, the Seder Olam says that Yoshua ben Nun, was also a shofet, a judge, a shofet, and served as a shofet for 28 years. The first recorded shofet, the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, is officially Othniel ben Knaz. But Yoshua was also a shofet for 28 years. Actually, it's mentioned that Yoshua was a parnas, he was a provider for 28 years, and it doesn't say that he was a shofet. So you see a third word that's used in terms of the shofet. You have Moshiach, you have shofet, and you have parnas. Parnas, to be mefarnes, is to provide. So he provided for 28 years for Klal Yisrael, but he was not a shofet for that amount of time. He was a shofet for some of that amount of time, but not all 28 years. the fourth shofet, shofet number four, the first woman, the shofetes, is Devorah. Udvora isha neviyah eshes lapidos, lapidot's wife. The haftorah for parshas b'shalach, shoftim perak dalid and perakay. The reason why it's the haftorah parshas b'shalach is because the shira, which appears in parshas b'shalach, is paralleled by the shira that appears vatoshar Devorah, uvarak ben avinom, and barak ben avinom, bayomahu lemor, etc. in perakay. She issues judgment, which means that she did a lot of teaching of Torah. And in fact, the Mordechai in Maseches Yevamos, in Siman Lamed Vav, the Mordechai tells us, in the back of Maseches Yevamos, tells us that if you hold that Isha Psula Ladun, which the Gemara in Bava Kama and Daf Tesvav tells us in the first parak, the Gemara in Bava Kama and Daf Tesvav Mad Aleph tells us that it's a problem for a woman to judge, to issue psak. There are women judges today in the Court of Appeals and other courts. But if you held then that in a Jewish Beis Din, you can't have a woman shofetet, you can't have a woman shofetet, so then how is Devorah a shofetet? So, the Mordechai says, no, she was just teaching a little bit. She wasn't paskening, she wasn't issuing final decisions, any maskanas, but she was teaching them and sort of leading them on the right path. But Devorah issues judgment, which meant that she did a lot of teaching of Torah. The fifth shofet, shofet number five, is Gidon. Gidon questions the oppression placed on Klal Yisrael, but is chosen nonetheless. You would think that if he questions the oppression, he wouldn't be chosen. You could choose so many other people. And he destroys Avodah Zarah, worship by Klal Yisrael. Gidon is known for that reason as a strong personality, and that's part of the reason why Gidon is chosen as a shofet. Because you need, we spoke about really three roles, a parnas also, which Yoshua was, but two primary roles of a shofet as well as a moshiach, a war hero, a military leader. The sixth shofet is Avimelech ben Gidon, Avimelech the son of Gidon. Obviously not the same Avimelech in Sefer Bereishis, but Avimelech lived in Shechem. He not only lived in Shechem, but he fought his own townspeople. He fought Shechem, which is a war that we were still trying to finish off from Parshas Vayishlach, when they abducted Dinah and the Bnei Yaakov had to take care of their sister. He had to convince Shechem to appoint him. He was in that town, and in that town he had to convince Shechem to appoint him. And he ruled for 3 years. And following his rule of 3 years, there was a rebellion. Please just give this to Jeremy. There was a rebellion. So again, you have that also. You have unrest of your rebellion first, and then you have someone appointed as a shofet. And as I said before, sometimes the pattern is you have a shofet, and then you have a little bit of a mess, a little bit of a war. The seventh shofet is the shofet Tola ben Pua. Tola, Tuf Vav Lamed Ayin ben Pua. Tola served as a shofet for 23 years, and I'll tell you just textually, because whenever we learn anything in Kol HaTorah Kula, we're learning something textually and conceptually. So I'll tell you something textually. If you look in Sefer Shoftim, you will find very little to nothing written about a number of the shoftim, and Tola is one of those shoftim, where you see virtually nothing written about him. We know what shevet he's from, which is important. Sometimes you can read into a little bit of a person's personality, person's persona. The fact that Tola was from shevet Yisachar, and the only one to have the same name as one of Yisachar's sons, which means he was a namesake of the Tola mentioned in Parshas Pinchas, when they're counted, not the first time, but another succeeding time, as Shvatim, belonging to their original ancestors. The eighth shofet, some of them will ring a bell in your head more than others, but the eighth is Yair HaGiladi. Yair HaGiladi, Yair, served as a shofet for 22 years. He came from Machir ben Menashe. Now why is that significant? The fact that Yair HaGiladi, he served as a shofet for 22 years, that's fine. But the fact that he comes from Machir ben Menashe, as we know what shevet he comes from, It's because Gilad and Menashe are referenced together. First of all, Gilad was in the Shevet, it was in the section of Menashe as far as the Chalukas Haaretz, but they're mentioned together. That's part of the reason why they're mentioned together in a number of parshios in the Torah, which we're going to get to in a second. Ya'ir HaGiladi controls 30 cities in Gilad. Gilad was a large area. He controls 30 cities in Gilad. These 30 cities are not just any 30 cities. These 30 cities are known as Chavot Ya'ir, Chavos Ya'ir. For the Bali Kriya, we know that this is mentioned in three places in Tanakh. Once in Parshas Matos, that's Bamidbar Perek Lamed Beis, at the very end of Parshas Matos, before the Me'archa Chfula for the Bali Kriya, but that's mentioned at the end of Parshas Matos, Bamidbar Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Mem Aleph. The second time it's mentioned is also in Torah, in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshas Dvarim, Dvarim Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yudalid, when we're told about the Nachala that we have, and really the Chalukas Haaretz within Chamisha Chamshei Torah, before we get to the Chiluk, the Kibush in Sefer Yoshua, but Dvarim Perek Gimel Pasuk Yudalid, and the third time is in Shoftim Perek Yud. Shoftim Perek Yud Pasuk Dalid. I give these psukim as reference that you can look them up after. Shoftim Perek Yud Pasuk Dalid. The Pasuk in Dvarim Perek Gimel Pasuk Yudalid tells us, V'yair ben Menashe lakach es kol chevel argov ad gevul ha-geshuri v'ma'achasi v'yikra usam al shemo es habashan chavos yair ad hayom hazeh. That's chavos yair. So those weren't any 30 cities. Those 30 cities are called chavos yair. The ninth shofet is Yiftach. Yiftach ha-giladi. The first words that are said about him to describe him is he was a gibor chayil. So we see again the roles of the shofet coming to the forefront in the very first psukim, in the very first description of some of these shoftim. Yiftach HaGiladi led Klal Yisrael to war against Ammon 300 years after entering Eretz Yisrael. Now I say this because if you're counting here or at home, this is the second enemy that the Shoftim, in and of themselves, we've had to fight a lot through our history. But this is the second enemy. We mentioned Moab already, and now we're going to mention, now we just mentioned Ammon, but 300 years after entering Eretz Yisrael, he leads the Jewish people in war against Ammon. Yiftach is, of course, the son of Gilad, and that's mentioned in Shoftim, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. The very beginning of the 11th parak of Shoftim. He's from Shevet Menashe. Again, the fact that he's Yiftach HaGiladi. Gilad, again, that connection to Menashe. We explained why that's true and why that's a connection. And the proof is that, we'll say it again, that his namesake is a grandson of Menashe, as it says in Parshas Pinchas. In Bamidbar, Perak Chavav Pasuk Chavtes, it tells us that his namesake, Gilad himself, is a grandson of Menashe. In fact, we said before, but we'll say it again, the other connection and the other significance is that Gilad is in the territory of Menashe. However, the Ramban in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Memtes, Pasuk Yutes, I always like mentioning the Perek, Pasuk, and Parsha, so that you know where things are divided by Parshios. Also, if you just want to flip to the Parsha when you look up the Makoros later, this is in Parshas Vayichi. The Ramban tells us in Parshas Vayichi, Memtes, Yudtes, he suggests, the Ramban does, that Gilad came from Shevet Gad, not Shevet Menashe. Now that's a hot take, because he says, Psukim in Sefer Yoshua support this. Yoshua Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chafhei, points out that Gad, Shevet Gad, Gad also inherited cities in the area of Gilad. There was a little bit of a tug of war, a little bit between two Shvatim. Either way, that's something significant to know. So whether he was in whether he was part of Shevet Gad, or like we assume, and like most assume, he was part of Shevet Menashe. He rules for 6 years, and he stops an 18-year attack from Ammon, and not only Ammon, but the Plishtim. And the Plishtim are the third enemy that the Shoftim have to fight. The tenth Shoftim, mentioned in Shoftim Perek Yudbeis, we're going in order, we always aim for clarity. Shoftim Perek Yudbeis, Psukim Ches, Tes, and Yud, a short description, is Ivtzan. Ivtzan Aleph Veiz Tzadi Nun Sofit. Ivtzan is otherwise known as Boaz. Ivtzan serves as Shofet for 7 years. He's from Shevet Yehuda. He has 30 sons and 30 daughters. He's Rus HaMoaviyah's husband. Now we have proofs that Ivtzan is Boaz, because we know, and here come the proofs, get them down, we know that he's from Beit Lechem, which the Megillah, Megillas Rus, tells us that Boaz, right? Boaz bought me Beis Lechem in the second half of Megillas Rus, which is in the area of Zvolin, in the Galil up north, in northern Israel, rather than the Beit Lechem of Yehuda. So that also is a point of contention. That's why it's Machlokes. Either way, the Gemara in Bava Basra, you do not have in front of you, the Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Tzadi Aleph, Amud Aleph, coming attractions for us in Chorazman this year. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tzadi Aleph, Amud Aleph, 91a, confirms that since Ivtzan is Boaz, the Gemara says in a very matter-of-fact way, that since Ivtzan is Boaz, he is from Beis Lechem Yehuda. And in fact, that's how I led. That's how I began describing Ivtzan. I began describing Boaz, that we assume the two are synonymous with one another. They're the same person. Ivtzan is Boaz, Boaz is Ivtzan. And the way you see it, Doron, in Megillas Rus, is that Boaz is described as Hine Boaz Ba Mi Beis Lechem. The 11th Shofet is Elon with an Aleph. Elon, Aleph Yud Lamed Vav Nun Sofit. Elon is from Shevet Zvolin. Elon serves as Shofet for 10 years. If you're adding up the math in your head, we'll get to the full number at the end, or the approximate number at the end. But he's from Shevet Zvolin, and he serves as Shofet for 10 years. He is mentioned briefly, one of those Shoftim that I mentioned, that I'll say again, that are mentioned very briefly, if at all, in the 12th Perek of Shoftim, in Shoftim Perek Yud Beis. That's Elon. The 12th Shofet is Avdon ben Hillel. Avdon ben Hillel. Avdon is spelled with an ayin and a vet. Avdon ben Hillel is from Shevet Ephraim. Avdon serves as Shofet for 8 years. He had, not to outdo Boaz, not to outdo Ivtzan, he has 40 sons and 30 daughters. 40 sons and 30 daughters. And again, very brief description of him, that's what we know. The 13th Shofet is Shimshon. Shimshon we know a little bit more of. We know that Shimshon is from Shevet Dan. Shimshon fights the Plishtim. That was, if I was counting correctly, the fourth enemy that we've mentioned in the time of the Shoftim, which is, as we've proven, and we've spent enough time on it today, part of the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh, because they taught Torah, they taught plenty of Torah, and they paskin shailas. He fights the Plishtim. He's known as a Nazir, that's what he's most famous for. He serves for 20 years. He's also, besides being known as a Nazir, he's known as a Gibor. He's the second Shofet that's mentioned explicitly in Sefer Shoftim as a Gibor Chayu. And he takes revenge on the Plishtim, the only Nekama that's mentioned explicitly, that's allowed according to Tanakh. He takes revenge on the Plishtim. The 14th Shofet is Eli. Eli HaKohen, Eli with an ayin, of course. Eli HaKohen, who raises Shmuel in the Migdash. No better place to call home, right? Raises Shmuel in the Migdash. Eli serves as a Shofet for 40 years. 40. For 40 years. And the coolest thing about Eli is that he's a direct descendant of Aaron HaKohen. The 15th and final Shofet And you have the transition between the Shoftim and the Nevi'im, which, if you were wondering, and I think it's the neatest thing about today's presentation and today's 5,000 years Torah history shiur, that's what it means. And that's why it makes the most sense that Yoshua Lizakanim, Uzakanim Lenevi'im, the Zakanim have to be the Shoftim. They cannot be any other group of people. You can't disprove this. You can't say that Esfali Shivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael, Asher Haim, etc., in Shvi of Parshas Baloscha mean anybody else but the Shoftim. But Shmuel is the final Shofet. Shmuel is also a Navi who lived between Eli HaKohen's death and the crowning of Shaul and David as Malachim. Learned a little bit of Nevi'im Rishonim today, didn't we, to say the least. And the crowning of Shaul and David, we are definitely not done, of Shaul and David as Malachim. Shmuel leads Klal Yisrael for over 40 years. His sons, Yoel and Aviyah, Aviyah with an Aleph, Yoel and Aviyah, also join him as Shoftim, which is a cute thing, it's a family affair, but it's also the only Shofet. We mentioned before that the first two Shoftim might have overlapped, they might have partnered, but this is the only familial, family connection of a Shofet. Join him as Shmuel being the last Shofet and the first Navi, even though we'll disprove that in a second, that he wasn't really the first Navi, just the first Navi of the Uzakanim Lenevi'im part. But Yoel and Aviyah also joined him as Shoftim. The Jewish people are oppressed by Edom, by Moab, by Canaan, by Midian. If you want to get them all down, we'll say it again. By Edom, by Moab, because we didn't mention all of these, and we mentioned the enemies when describing the Shoftim. The Jewish people are oppressed by Edom, Moab, Canaan, Midian, Ammon, and the Plishtim. And the Shoftim era took place over a period of approximately 300 years. There is a question whether the Shoftim period was purely consecutive or whether, like many believe, some Shoftim historically overlapped with one another. And then we get to, referring back to the Mishnah Avos, Uzakanim Lenevi'im. How many Nevi'im were there? So people say, oh, there were only a few Nevi'im. So there are a lot of opinions that there were way more than just a few Nevi'im. But the Gemara in Megillah, and I always say, and you'll hear me say this many times, the more we learn Torah together, everything needs a makor. You cannot just say something. I'm a big fan of Chidushim, but people who are Abba Mechadesh, and the best, most creative thinkers in our time and in yesteryear, are basing what they're saying on years and years of learning. Creative, critical thinking is only based on serious makoros. Everything needs a makor. Says the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yadalad, which you do not have in front of you. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yadalad, Amad Aleph, tells us, Harbe Nevi'im, Amdu Lahem Li Yisrael, Kiflayim, Kiyotze Mitzrayim. Twice as many as those who left Egypt. I'm telling you the words of our precious Talmud Bavli. That's an exorbitant number of Nevi'im which have existed in our history. However, Ella, Nevua shehutzrecha ledoros, nichteva, unevua shelo hutzrecha ledoros, lo nichteva. The only ones that were recorded were those whose prophecies were needed for future generations. Those are the only ones that are recorded. Rashi, Alatar, on Megillah Daf Yudalid, Dibur Maschil, Nevua Shehutzrecha Ledoros, tells us, lists off. Rashi and Megillah Daf Yudalid lists the 48 Nevi'im, and we're going to list them for you right now. List the 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os. Now we're going to list them in more or less the order that they appeared, not the males first and then the Nevi'os later. They are Avram, Sarah, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Miriam, Aaron, Moshe, Yoshua, Devorah, Pinchas, Eli, Elkanah, Chana, Shmuel, David, Avigail, Gad, not the original Gad, but Gad, Nasan Hanavi, Natan Hanavi, Shlomo, Edo with an ayin, Michiyahu, Ovadja, Achia, Yehu, Azariah, Chaziel, Eliezer, of course not the original Eliezer, Hoshea, Amos, Micha, Amots, Elio, Elisha, Yonah, Yeshaya, Chulda, Yoel, Nachum, Chavakuk, Tzvanya, Uriah, Yirmiah, Yecheskel, Daniel, which is a machlokas, whether it's Daniel or it's Shmaya, Shmaya with an ayin, Baruch, Neriah, Sraya, Mechasya, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi, Esther, and Mordechai Bilshan. Now that's a mouthful, and I wanted to give all 53 Nevi'im as part of this year. But the Pasuk tells us in Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Ches, is a Makoros so that you guys become Talmidei Chacham, but it's also Makoros for reference for you to look up after this year, or in a couple of weeks, or next week, or in 2 days from now, etc. Pasuk tells us in Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Ches, as well as Perek Chav Ches, Pasuk Tes, and the third Makor is Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. They add, Divrei Hayamim adds, Oded with an ayin, and Chanani, Ches, Nun, Yud, who are called Nevi'im in these Psukim. We're going to have 2 weeks, as you have in front of you, those who came new this week, but or trying it out. 5,000 years of Torah history, you're also trying out because you're going to see what we're doing. Meaning, it could be that this year was good, bad, or indifferent, but it's the whole program that we have here, the whole curriculum that we have here, which might seem very attractive. We're going to have 2 weeks of the history and authenticity of Nevuah. The Rambam tells us in Mor Nevuchim, in Perek Memhei, he makes clear, the Rambam does, that there are different levels of Nevuah. People aren't aware of this. The Rambam groups two different Nevuahs, two different groups of Nevi'im. We think that it's all part of one group of Nevi'im. It is not. And the Rambam tells us the higher level Nevi'im who are listed are Avram Yaakov, Yeshaya, Yirmiah, Nasan, and Achiyah HaShiloni. And the lower level Nevi'im listed are, David, Shlomo, Daniel, Yechaziel ben Zechariah, Zechariah ben Yehoyada HaKohen, Azariah ben Oded, Bilam Hanavi, but even though he was the only one, the Gemara says in two places in Shas, the Gemara in Brachos on Nav Zayin, and the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Dalet Amud Beis tells us that Bilam was the only one who was Yodea Das Elyon, who knew the moment in the day when Hashem could become angry. Bilam was still on the lower level of Nevuah, at least according to the Rambam. The Shoftim were also on the level of Nevuah, also on the lower level of Nevuah. The Shivim Zikanim, Eldad and Medad, who the Pasuk in Parshas Balosha tells us, were misnabim b'machaneh. That's in terms of describing both the periods of the Shoftim and the Nevi'im, and we're going to come back to the 2 weeks of the history and authenticity of Nevuah and the Nevi'im. But just to, for the last few minutes of Shir, tell you, as great as the Nevi'im were, the Pasuk tells us, in Parshas Bechukosai, this is Vayikra, Perek Chav Zayin, you have in front of you, Pasuk Lamed Dalid, that we are taught, as great as the Nevi'im were, that Eila HaMitzvos, we learn from Eila HaMitzvos, that Ein Navi Rashai L'Chadesh Davar Me'ata, those people who have gotten to it at night Seder, or if you have a different limud in afternoon Seder, because you're in a different morning shir, you might have gotten to it in afternoon Seder, where the Gemara quotes in the 8th parak of Yuma this pasuk that a Navi is not allowed to be mechadesh, a Navi rasha lechadesh davar me'ata. And we should know that Nevi'im cannot introduce any new halacha. They can't introduce any new law. That's why they had to receive the Torah from the Zakenim. If you wonder why the Nevi'im are listed after the Zakenim, oh, don't they have Nevuah? Isn't that some special power that others don't have? In a way, yes. But in a way, they also could not introduce anything new, so their hands were a little bit tied. Within the Nevi'im, the Torah was transmitted orally from Shmuel to Nasan, to Gad to Achia, to the next Navi, to Malachi. And the reason why I repeated that very short list after listing that long list of 53 Nevi'im that we listed is because the 53 Nevi'im we listed were all of the Nevi'im in Torah history. The Nevuos, or the Nevi'im rather, that I just mentioned are the prophets who transmitted one to the other in succession. And Malachi was the last Navi. The Nevi'im were the last group to be on the original level of transmission of Torah Sheba'al Peh, the highest original level of Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Nevi'im then transmit the Torah to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who despite their unbelievable accomplishments, most notably the Siddur and Shemoneh Esrei, and yes, of course, but we'll say it anyway, we have 2 weeks only on the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, exclusively Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the Zugos we'll talk about, for those who are familiar, and those are right after the history and authenticity of Nevuah, the teachings and times of the second Beis Hamikdash, part one and part two, are devoted to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So we're learning Kol HaTorah Kula, it's just whether you're interested, but many of you are interested, but most notably introducing the Siddur and Shemoneh Esrei in particular. They are considered to be on a lower level than the Nevi'im. I'll mention what I said before, that Nevi'im were on the highest level, like the original level of Torah Sheba'al Peh, after Torah Shebichtav. Obviously, we spoke about last week, the transmission of Torah Sheba'al Peh. So that original high level of Torah Sheba'al Peh, and they were greatly influenced by the Nevi'im. But it's important to know that Torah Sheba'al Peh continued the same. People always ask this question, so let's answer it now. Torah Sheba'al Peh continued the same for the first 1,000 years of our tradition, until the end of the first Beis HaMikdash, when the Jews left Eretz Yisrael. That's when Nevuah ended. People ask when Nevuah ended. That is when Nevuah ended. And that's when Nevuah ended, but Torah Sheba'al Peh stayed strong. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were comprised of 120 elderly sages. They were the Gedolei Ador, and there were even a few Nevi'im among them. Among these Gedolei Ador were Zerubbabel, Sarya or Sraya, Ra'alia with an ayin, and Mordechai. And they lived during Ezra's times, when the Jews returned from Galus Bavel, at the beginning of the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. As we said before, in Choresman we will have 2 weeks devoted to the teachings and times of the second Beis HaMikdash, where you know you're going to get a comprehensive dose of that period of time. Among them were Nevi'im, including Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, who lived at the end of the Nevi'im period and the beginning of the period of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. As soon as they saw that Nevuah had stopped, and there were no protective fences around the Torah to prevent Isurim, they enacted Takanos and Siyagim, fences around the Torah to ensure proper observance. The others among them composed much of our tefillah. Much of what we daven today, Shachris Min Chamariv, was composed by them. During the days of Moshe and Yoshua, there was tremendous chiddush, new dinim, and takanos, institutions being introduced all of the time. What were some of these takanos? So we're going to have a week devoted to gzeros and takanos in Chorev Zman. A lot of exciting coming attractions. But a couple we'll just mention now. Within monetary matters, within dine mamonos, one may not walk on another's property depending on the season. Another takana was the bracha in Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara in Brachos tells us in the seventh perek, the bracha of Birchas Haaretz, V'alakol, was instituted then. That's what the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis tells us. Moshe instituted the first bracha of Birchas Hazon, Birchas Hamazon, Birchas Hazon, when the man fell, and Yoshua instituted Birchas Haaretz when the Jews entered into Eretz Yisrael. The last of the Anshei Knesset Gnez Dagadola was Shimon HaTzadik, who was, as the Mishnah tells us in Avos, was Mishiare Knesset HaGadola. He was from the remnants of the Great Assembly, of the Knesset HaGadola. And he was a descendant of Yoshua ben Yehotzadak, Kohen Gadol. Shimon HaTzadik, who descended from the priesthood, descended from Kohuna, himself served as the Kohen Gadol for 40 years during the period of the Second Beis HaMikdash. 40 years during the period of the Second Beis HaMikdash. He lived the longest, past all of the previous members of the Anshei Knesset Gedola. And the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph tells us that the entire 40-year period that Shimon HaTzadik served as Kohen Gadol, there were many miracles performed in the Beis HaMikdash, many nisim. Among them, that the Ner Ma'aravi remained lit, the westernmost candle remained lit the entire day. Following up with that Gemara is the Gemara about 30 blot later, the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Samech Tes Amud Aleph, that during the time of Shimon HaTzadik, Alexandros waged war on Yerushalayim, and once he saw Shimon HaTzadik, is everything okay? Shimon HaTzadik, wearing the big day kahuna, he came off his chariot and bowed, prostrated himself in front of him, bowed in front of him. He was the greatest tzaddik in the generation. To conclude, when the Mishnah in Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, tells us, after this whole chadgadja of the Mesorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, Heim Amru Shlosha Dvarim, says the Mishnah. And it refers to three different time periods and three different people who said these things. Yoshua warned the Zakenim. We're not familiar with that. We read the Mishnah differently, and we have to change the way we read it after hearing a little bit of this Torah, because it's true. It was said by three different people in three different time periods, and it makes sense that they themselves said these three different things. Yoshua warned the Zakenim, who were shoftim, to be Heve Misunim Badim. Take a look at the Mishnah when you go downstairs. Heve Misunim Badim, be deliberate in judgment. It wasn't just arbitrarily put in to the Mishnah of three statements. Three historically accurate and accurately time-framed statements. Heve Misunim Badim, be deliberate in judgment. The Zakenim instructed the Nevi'im to Ha'amidu Talmidim Harbe. The best way to teach Talmidim is to make them stand on their own. Give them enough Torah so that they're standing on their own. Establish many Talmidim. Don't just teach them. Establish them. And the Nevi'im told the Anshei Knesset Gedola, Asu Siyag LaTorah. You seeing where we're going with this? To make a fence around the Torah with rabbinic enactments. Each group set things and instructions that were crucial for their generation. The Gemara in Temura, and we close with this. The Gemara in Temura on Daf Tezayin Medal, if you have in your Mekoros, you have as the bottom Gemara in your Mekoros, tells us that Yoshua lived through a period that witnessed the passing of Klal Yisrael's greatest leader, Moshe Rabbeinu. And due to his passing, 3,000 halachos. You have the Gemara in front of you. So if you don't believe me, believe the Gemara. The Gemara says that we lost 3,000 halachos. 3,000 halachos were forgotten. We lost them. Which is why he instructed the shoftim at that time not to rush to judgment. It wasn't arbitrarily said. It was said as a sign of the times. It's a new way to read this Mishnah. Fresh and exciting. The Zakenim who saw Nevuah cease to exist during their time warned others that they should ensure the establishing of many Talmidim for the purpose of the possible resurgence. They didn't know, but the possible resurgence of Nevuah. Hamidu Talmidim Harbe was their directive. And the Nevi'im who saw Jews scattered to places that didn't have Torah warned others that fences should be built. Safeguards, rabbinic enactments, and safeguards should be built. Siyagim, with a samech, of course. Fences should be built around the Torah in order not to violate Isurim. We continue next week with everything you need to know, and I mean everything, about Halacha L'Moshe Misinai.